Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, Brian. As he was singing, I was like, nobody can do that like him. Nobody can do that like you. That was the perfect song. Thank you, John and Brian. Wow, let's give him some more love. Ah. What an absolute pleasure to have you back in our space today. So wonderful. You've never left. So Miss Pixie is going to be giving our ohm on, helping us get our ohm on, something like that. And I just want to honor Reverend Pixie for her beautiful life she has lived and inspired so many of us here. Pixie has been a part of this community, as we all know, for many years, practitioner for 15. She and I went to ministerial school together, and she's an amazing minister, practitioner, friend, wise woman. I know you will be lifted up and inspired today by getting your ohm on through Pixie. So let's give her a warm Foothill welcome.
Hi, Foothill Center for Spiritual Living. I missed you guys. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful group. And it's so nice to be back and to look out and see all of those beautiful faces. Man, we've missed you. This place, as Suzanne was saying, this place raised me. I walked in those doors 23 years ago because the body needed a healing, because the relationships needed a healing, because the lack and limitation, that needed to go away too. So I walked through those doors 23 years ago. I went through 4 years of metaphysics training. I went through another couple of years of practitioner training. I met my husband here. That was like, you know, that was icing on the cake for everything else that was going on. So I just wanted to say thank you once again for being here, Rex, and Scott, and Joy, Susan. That was an amazing opening prayer. Thank you very much. I bow to you, Suzanne. Beautiful, beautiful opening meditation. It really got us centered and in that place. And I thought, you know, I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to be all grown up now, and I'm going to be all grounded in it. I can't do that. I can't do that. So you're kind of stuck with what you got up here. So today we're talking about get your ohm on, affirmations and denials. So I understand that this month you have been talking about prayer, and there are so many different aspects to prayer. We call prayer treatment. I'll say if we treat, that means I say we pray. So we have affirmative prayer, we have five-step affirmative prayer, we have scientific prayer. It all means prayer. It all means talking with God. So today, with regards to affirmations and denials, just about all of your religious science churches across the country are doing affirmations and denials. It's the theme. This is the piece of the prayer today that we get to learn about doing affirmations or denials. Well, what does that mean? Okay, so I went to the Science of Mind text. I got some information from that. Living the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes is a book that I use through not ministerial school, but practitioner training. It sits right next to my prayer chair, and every morning I go there and I read a chapter out of it. Beautiful, beautiful book. Joy is going to be, what is the name of that again, Joy? Yes. So after church, upstairs, she's going to be making affirmation denials a little bit more personal to you. So I invite you to go join Joy and Mary Pat. Are you here? There she is. Hi. All right. Affirmation and denials are tools that we use to change consciousness. Everything is consciousness. Everything. And sometimes we find ourselves stuck in a situation or circumstance, or the body's not working the way that it should, or the relationships are difficult, or we're not seeing the prosperity the way that we would like to see it show up in our life. And so we need to change that consciousness. We need to change the way that we look at that. We need to let go of the things that no longer serve us so that we can lift up the things that we do and open that door for spirit to come in. Everything that we could have ever dreamed of and more is already there. Because spirit is liquid and fluid and moves however our thoughts and our feelings choose to bring it in and invite it into our life. It's already there. We just need to recognize that and let go of the junk. So how do we do that? So first, we need to know what an affirmation and a denial is. I'm also going to actually talk a little bit about truth. We use the word truth sometimes, I think, a little bit too loosely, and we take it for granted that we know what truth is. So let me give you what Ernest Holmes says with regards to what an affirmation is. Here we go. Affirmation, to affirm anything, is to state that it is so, and to maintain this as being true in the face of all evidence to the contrary. Human thought can only affirm, for even at the moment of denial, it is affirming the presence of that which it denies. Saying it's real, but we're saying it's not real at the same time. Sorry. Okay. Repeating an affirmation is leading the mind to that state of consciousness where it accepts that which it wishes to believe. I am loved, loving, and lovable. I am at peace. I am willing to move through life as spirit supports me. What are you willing to do? What are you opening up to? Denial. The mental act of knowing that any negative condition need not be. Denial clears the way for a realization of truth. It is a wiping out of wrong reasoning. It is a clearing of the ground, a dredging of the mental channels, preparatory to the building of positive, constructive affirmation. Do not stop with the denial. That is only the preliminary step. Deny the false and affirm the real. The need of denial ceases as thought rises to real spiritual perception. So when we deny something, I am willing to release disease, dysfunction, anything that no longer serves me. We're getting in there. We're getting rid of the junky old thought that's been showing up as disease or dysfunction or any of those other things that show up in our lives. When we go into prayer, so I'm assuming that since you've been talking about prayer all month, you're already aware of the five-step affirmative prayer that we go through. The very premise, the very beginning of everything before anything else is added on, is perfect man, perfect God, and perfect being. Everything is perfect within spirit. One mind, one essence, that which is vibratory and beautiful. It's a wonderful high frequency, that which is loving and graceful and good. This is God. This is where we start. So if there is only one mind, and this one mind is God, and it is all good, and it is always evolving into itself. What do you suppose about that junk that shows up? Where does it come from? It can't be created by God, because God can't know anything outside of itself. It can only know that perfection that it is. So would I go as far to say that perhaps some of the junk that shows up is illusion? Doesn't feel like illusion, does it? Feels like it's pretty real when it's staring you in the face, or when you can't get out of bed, or when you can't stop crying. Ah. Our consciousness becomes an effect. Effects show up through our consciousness depending on what we're thinking and what we're feeling. So if we're feeling good and we're feeling love and light and peace and balance and beauty, that is our first cause. And it shows up as effect. Maybe peaceful relationships, maybe a balanced mind, maybe a lot of laughter and goodness and grace in our lives. So there's two ways that we pray. One is called the argumentative method. The other is a realization method. Can anybody guess which one I like to use the most? So in the argumentative method, we create an argument. So you come to me and you want prayer, and you're saying you're really feeling sick if really feeling bad. So in my mind, I create an argument why that cannot be so, if God is all there is. I create a series of arguments to the point where whatever is showing up as dis-ease or dysfunction, it can't have any power any longer, because I've argued to the point where a spirit's truth is all there is, and then the dis-ease begins to dissipate, or the bad feelings. A denial, when we deny things, it also brings us to a place where consciousness can shift, because it is no longer appearing as something that is real. We use the argumentative method of prayer sometimes when something has been in the consciousness for so very long, it's dug in, it's steeped, it doesn't want to move. Things that we've had to happen in our childhood, things in adults that have hurt us so deeply, and we don't know what to do with them. And they're there. So when I go into prayer, your mind will tell you which one will work the best for you. Argumentative works really well for me. When I sit down in my prayer chair, all of a sudden the energy, whoever I'm praying for, becomes very apparent in front of me. And you know how, like, you have like a wheel that's off, you know, like that wheel we had with a big bubble in it, and it kind of goes wow, 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 right? It's not spinning beautifully or perfectly or at ease. It's off balance. So I have to argue. And once I see that wheel begin to spin in all its clarity and perfection, I know that a healing is beginning to occur. Remember that we don't heal from a wrong condition. We heal from the illusion. We heal from the illusion of a wrong condition. A condition cannot be reality. There is no space for it in spirit. There is no place for an actuality of a disease or a heartache, because there is not truth. That's why you go to your practitioners. They talk, they work with you, they help you to understand the truth. When we do a denial will always be followed by that affirmation. Always remember that. As we deny, then we start to pump up what the truth is. In the realization method, this is where we just start. In step 3, we begin to realize that God is all there is, and a very harmonious, loving, beautiful energy, we begin to create that. And it is so light and so bright that anything that has appeared as disease or dysfunction or junk starts to dissipate and go away. This is more for the things that have, you know, man, my boss yelled at me last week, I feel like I'm nothing. Those are the lighter types of things that we would use that type for. Actually, whatever works for you. Realization method is just as good as the denials. Denials is great for anything that has shown up long time past that we need to work with. Truth. I want to talk to you a little bit about truth. We use truth loosely, a lot. But what is truth? What is truth? You know, we all have our own personal truths. What does Ernest Holmes say that truth is? He said, truth, that which is the reason, cause, and power in and through everything. Now get this. It is birthless, deathless, changeless, complete, perfect, whole, self-existent, causeless, almighty, God, spirit, law, mind, intelligence, and anything and everything that implies reality. By a process of axiomatic reasoning, we arrive at the conclusion that spirit knows nothing outside of itself. Nothing. The truth is that which is, and being that which is, it must be infinite and all. Are you guys, like, catching a theme here? Being infinite or all, the truth can have nothing outside of itself other than itself or unlike itself by which to divide itself. Consequently, the Spirit is indivisible, changeless, and complete within itself. Itself is all that is, both cause and effect, the Alpha and the Omega. That is the truth. That is the allness of Spirit. You cannot separate it. It cannot know anything out of what it is, and it is pure, it is light, it is always life-affirming. When I was a child, I was raised in a Christian Science home. So we had that half that was Greek Orthodox, many of us know that. And so anyway, I ended up in the Christian Science half. And I knew at 6, 7, or 8 years old that I would go to my mother if I wasn't feeling good, and I would tell her, call Mrs. Book. Have her know the truth for me. Tell her to know the truth. How did I know 6, 7, or 8 years old that by knowing the truth that I was going to be healed? Now, I experienced that time and time and time and time again, immediate healing. So being a practitioner was very, it was nothing strange to me, nothing new, because I'd seen the works that they do. Mrs. Book was in New York. She was in New York. When we pray, we don't have to pray somewhere else. We don't have to send someone love or send someone prayers or send someone healing. The prayer is always done right inside of us as we deny what is not true and we allow the truth to become ever present, to become what it is we wish to experience. I would sit in that Christian Science Sunday school. We had these like little Sunday school things around, and then we would all come into the center, and they didn't have ministers, they had readers, and they would read to us. And then up on each side, it would say, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is the truth. Ernest Holmes has that in the back of his textbook. Take that, read that, know that. Any time that you deny the truth or that you are feeling like you are denying the truth, any time you don't understand the truth about you, about anyone else, there it is, plain, simple, complete truth. Know this truth and all else will fall away. God is always God, no matter what your emotional storm is. No matter what the junk, what the crap, what other stuff is showing up in your life, no matter the emotional storm, God will always be God. And as long as we turn to that presence and that peace, because it is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all the time, no exceptions, that is God. 2 + 2 will always equal 4, will it not? It doesn't equal 7 or 10 or 5 or 15. It equals 4. There is one God, one mind. Nothing can change that except your own thoughts, your own consciousness, your own ideas, directions that you wish to go in. It is up to you if you feel like crumbum, if you feel there is disease or dysfunction or lack or limitation or any of those things. They're not reality. They are not truth. They are illusion. We don't treat the thing. We don't pray for the disease or the dysfunction or any of that other junk. It is the illusion of these things that we need to go in and remove and deny. So if I walked up to you and I said, I'm having a really bad day. I'm an elephant. Be nice. Ladies, right? If I walked up to you and I said, I'm an elephant. I'm feeling really crummy. What do you see? What do you see? Is this an elephant? It's not. It's not the truth of me. But I'm feeling it. I'm feeling that this is the truth. But it's not. Just like God, just like Spirit, no matter what it's looking like, no matter what the situation or circumstance may show up as at any given time, ain't no elephant, right? See the truth. And allow it to work. There will always be something in the eternal that has never been violated. So no matter what your situation or circumstance was as a child, growing up, married, unmarried, I don't know, whatever it was, there will always be a peace in you because it is that God essence that has never been violated by anybody, that has never been hurt, never been angered, never been fearful, never been sick. And that is the place that we work from. Dr. Ken Gordon says that we're always so clear about the things that we don't want. We're never really too clear about the things that we do want. So this one really got me as well. I love Dr. Ken Gordon. He has a presence of stillness and calmness and knowledge. He asks his students to write down the question and then meditate on it. What do you want? I challenge you this week to go home. Write it down. What do you want? Forget about what you don't want. What do you want? Part two, why don't you have it? That's your second question. And I hope that you answer that. Why don't you have it? Once we know why you don't have it, because I don't feel I'm good enough, because it's too big for me, because I'm afraid, because I can't get there. So that gives your practitioner something to work with, doesn't it? The mental equivalence of what it is that you do want. Ask the question, what do I want? Forget about what you don't want. What happens when we put our energy to what we don't want? We get more of it, right? Yeah, I'll say that forever. And I will close with this. When your belief in spirit is greater than a condition, a healing will always occur. When your belief in spirit is greater than a condition, a healing will always occur. Let's take that into prayer. Dear sweet Father, Mother God, angels, love and life, peace and bounty, I know that it is all God, it is all good, it is all that perfect oneness that shows up in the most magnificent of ways. It is this day, this glorious day, that I accept a divine shift and movement in consciousness for each person that has entered through these sanctuary doors. That the peace of God fills up each individual and flows in and through their lives as they move through this week. Anything that has not looked like joy or happiness is none of the God qualities that we know. We release all things that we release and deny all things that no longer serve us, that are of sickness or disease, lack or limitation, fear, upset, any of the things that are denials of that which is the truth of what the Father, Mother, God is. I uplift and I bring forth all of the goodness that is God to each person, knowing that we are divinely guided, guarded, protected, and directed, always guided up that perfect path to right action, knowing our pathway is illumined before us as we affirm the good everywhere in our life. For these wondrous blessings, dear Father, Mother God, I just release this, my word, unto the universal law, knowing it is done in mind and to be made manifest in form, as God is now an immediate manifestation in my life, as it is in each and every one of yours. And so it is. Namaste.